relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Seeing things you people wouldn't believe.
You want to talk to God? Let's go see him again.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes or cutaway coat, perfect fits.
Something hard to imagine. Baron Frankenstein's monster, because the monster isn't Frankenstein, guys. Get it right. Baron Frankenstein's monster in a top hat and tails, singing Pudding on the Ritz. Only Gene Wilder and only Mel Brooks. Welcome, dear friends, to Making Movies Great Again. This week it is Young Frankenstein. And we will dissect, we will celebrate, I hope, with our co-host, our good friend, he of the Mr. Reagan and Alpha Critic channels on YouTube, Chris Coles. Chris, are you a fan of Mel Brooks?
I am not a big fan of Mel Brooks.
Wow, it's official. Okay, so we shall continue our review and celebration. Had you seen Young Frankenstein before?
I had not seen Young Frankenstein, and the reason I hadn't seen it was because I am not a huge fan of Mel Brooks. I will say, when I was a kid, my mother always talked about Blazing Saddles. That was her favorite Mel Brooks film. She loved this film. She thought it was hysterical. I did watch it. I think I fell asleep. Didn't love that movie. I did like Spaceballs. Spaceballs is probably my favorite Mel Brooks film. I really loved Star Wars, obviously. Spaceballs, I thought, was actually a pretty good send-up of Star Wars. It was, you know, it was distinctly different enough that you could still love Star Wars. You could love Star Wars and you could still love that movie. It was a lot of fun. Pizza the Hutt. I mean, how could you not love that? the other film that I quite liked was Robin Hood Men in Tights, because I did enjoy Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, when that came out, and that was a direct reference to that movie. It was a spoof of that movie. So I don't dislike Mel Brooks entirely, but I'm not a huge fan of silly humor, and Mel Brooks loves silly humor. There was a lot of that in this film, but that said, I was actually surprised by a couple of things, and I do have a theory as to why people love this film and why it's considered a classic. I could tell you now, or we could get into it a little bit later.
Well, let me react to what you said so far. So let me react to you know, your opening comments, because it's weird. Look, I think he is, you know, on a kind of genius level out there. My daughter just bought me his autobiography, and it's a super fun read. So the Mel Brooks story, very funny, very funny. But my appreciation of his is rather selective. See, for me, Men in Tights does nothing. Spaceballs, far too on the nose, you know, far too unsubtle. But then I look at, I mean, when he did the Hitler rap, Springtime for Germany, I mean, there's a certain genius that this man has that nobody else dares to do. Blazing Saddles, you know, the cliche is the movie that could never be made today. But of all of his, for me, and maybe I'm going to have to make a confession here, maybe it was the very young age at which I saw this. Maybe it was the puerile sexual innuendo. But, Chris, I love this movie. I've seen it, I don't know, 100 times. As I was watching it again last night, I was reciting the lines, you know, in time to the people as they were delivering them, and I still find them funny despite being able to, you know, recite them by heart. So let's start with what was surprising. Did you like this or not?
Okay, I will say the reasons that I like Robin Hood Men in Tights, probably the reasons that I liked Spaceballs. Also, I saw these movies when I was really young. Right. I do think that the slapstick nature of Mel Brooks comedies does work better when you're a kid.
Yeah.
I loved the Naked Gun films when I was a little kid. You know, I was probably 12 when I saw those movies. So this kind of, like you said, yeah, some of the puerile nature of some of the jokes. Look, this movie is, I do think, on a different level from other Mel Brooks films.
Yes, explain that, because I agree with you. What is it that puts this in a different category, Chris?
And I will also agree with you that I do think Mel Brooks is a genius, actually. Because a lot of the jokes, and I think a lot of the reason why some of the jokes don't work today, a lot of the jokes that you'll see in Mel Brooks films, is because he invented jokes that then became standards.
Yes.
Right? So you'd see things a million times. We've talked about this in other with other films. They set a certain standard. It's so popular that it becomes ubiquitous and then becomes boring.
Right.
So he was inventing things that were so hysterical that everybody copied them. And now the original isn't funny anymore, which is really sad. But that's just how things go, you know. The reason I say this film's on a different level than other Mel Brooks films, I think it's because they were trying so hard to create a direct parody of the original Frankenstein film.
Yeah.
And so in doing so, the cinematography is actually brilliant.
It's beautiful.
The way that Gene Wilder – it's beautiful. It's really beautifully shot. The way Gene Wilder acts, I normally don't like Gene Wilder. I don't like him in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I don't really like that actor. That's why I don't like Blazing Saddles. I don't think he's a bad actor. I just – it's not my taste.
He's a very acquired taste.
I think so. Or just a very particular taste. Some people like him. I just don't. I don't know why. I mean, I wouldn't probably dislike him in real life. I'm just like not thrilled when I see a movie that he's in. But this film, it works really well. And the reason I think is because that character in the original Frankenstein film is alive. It's alive, right? We think of that as like such overacting, right?
Yeah.
But at the time, people in theaters really thought, oh, wow, this guy's really passionate about what he's doing, right? We kind of laugh at it today. Gene Wilder had that kind of maniacal, I don't know, way about him sometimes. And so he could kind of channel that same thing. And it really worked very naturally with how Gene Wilder acted anyway. And so it all just kind of came together. This is like the perfect film for Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
And I do think that it is elevated. I look at this film and I see an excellent film, a film that was really well made. And I respect it and I appreciate it. Not just as a comedy, but as a film. And I will say this last thing real quick. The putting on the Ritz bit, which I'm sure we'll get to later, but I'll just real quick. The reason that works so well, and it really – I laughed out loud watching that, okay? The reason it works so well is because they treated the film so respectfully, the original, and the cinematography was so well done. And a lot of the film was serious. Even though you had a little bit of a joke here and there, it wasn't too silly up until that point.
Right.
Then you get this absolute absurdity of the monster who was acting pretty well as the monster up until now, doing the putting on the Ritz dance, and I laughed out loud at that point. I knew it was coming. I've seen the clip a million times, and I still laughed out loud. It's not necessarily just the bit. It's the whole setup before the bit.
All right, let's discuss that momentarily. A plot device or a concept that Gene Wilder came up with, because he's the original mind behind the concept for Young Frankenstein. We're celebrating it. We're making movies great again. Make sure you are subscribed to our friends' YouTube channels, Mr. Reagan and the Alpha Critic. Every single one of his posts is worth your time. Make sure you are subscribed to this show on whichever podcast platform you prefer. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends. And if you want to hang out with me and with a few hundred other patriots that love the Republic, join us this July 4th weekend for the Patriots Alaska Cruise. June 29th to July 6th in the most beautiful state of the Union, especially if you missed our trip to Israel a year ago. Just going to be you, me, and a few hundred patriots on a 5-star beautiful, the Eurodame liner. Check out the incredible itinerary at sebgorka.com. Reserve your cabin today. Just put a deposit down, $50 off if you do it right now. Already 280 gone, so don't wait a millisecond. Do it right now. Go to SEBGORKA, SebGorka.com, and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
I have one question, Dr. Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
I beg your pardon?
My name, it's pronounced Frankenstein.
But aren't you the grandson of the famous Dr. Victor Frankenstein, who went into graveyards, dug up freshly buried corpses, and transformed dead components into...
Yes, yes, yes. We all know what he did. But I'd rather be remembered for my own small contributions to science, and not because of my accidental relationship to a famous... cuckoo.
It's funny what you say about Gene Wilder, because, again, I agree with you. You know, he's not my favorite cup of tea. But in this role, what he brings, it's perfect casting. I mean, he wrote it for himself. He came up with the idea that Mel Brooks agreed to direct it, and they worked on the script together. But his treatment, it was Gene Wilder's treatment originally. He has the capacity to do something that I'm talking to an actor, so, you know, maybe you'll disagree with me. Is to move from a comedy skit like that to the incredibly serious. When he's on the platform and he's, you know, redoing the 1939, give me life! He's totally believable as the crazy scientist. Yeah. And then he'll move into, you know, tap dancing with the monster. So the capacity to make those transitions, I imagine, is not what every actor is good at.
No, and just calmly talking to the class. Like he played a number of roles in this, really. Yeah. Right? He played several roles because he was trying to be as normal as possible in his everyday job, in order to sort of distinguish himself from the craziness of his grandfather, supposedly. And then, you know, but deep down, he's just like his grandfather, right? So that has to come out later in the film, and you see that development over time. And like you said, yeah, then he can be like ridiculous and absurd and silly, and then he gets the one-liners off. And yeah, he's a kind of a chameleon. He can play a lot of different roles. He's not a bad actor, like I said. I mean, the reason I don't like watching him isn't because he's a bad actor.
It's the hair. A very good actor. It's the permed hair.
I think it's the mustache, if I'm honest.
but on top of...
Not a fan of the stash.
On top of the transitions in and out of serious horror pastiche, horror homage as well, then slapstick, then comedy, then the purient humor, there's also the fact that this is ballsy. I mean, you've got to remember, this is 1974, and it's black and white. And it's not black and white that transitions to color. It's a black and white movie made in 1974 with the same kind of iconic 1930s horror music and the lightning. So, I mean, this, it's comedy, but it really is an homage, is it not, to the movies, the horror movies of the 1930s?
Yeah, and I'm not sure, but I think I saw in a couple of scenes, he's even got, like, the eyeliner that they used to give to actors. And, like,
yes.
You know, because even the men, because they had to really distinguish their features because the film was so low resolution back in the olden days, you know, back in the 20s and 30s. They would give them eyeliner, the men, and I think he's wearing eyeliner in this movie for that reason. I may be wrong about that, but it looks like that. You know, they really, their attention to detail was astonishing. The lab looks exactly like the lab from the original film. I mean, maybe my memory's wrong. I haven't seen the original.
Do you know, you want to know why it looks the same?
Oh, they didn't save that set, did they?
The man who built it, the electrician and electrical special effect artist Kenneth Strickfadden, still had the equipment from the 1931 movie. Kenneth Strickfadden, 43 years later, allowed Mel Brooks to use the actual arcing electrical equipment from the original Frankenstein. How about that?
That's incredible. Well, you know, we keep talking about how they did it justice, and I didn't realize that. That makes so much sense now. And you know what? This is a really a beautiful homage.
Yeah.
And I think that it shows how much they loved that original film. And maybe, you know, maybe they didn't, but they recognize that it's a classic and people do love the film. And so even though there's some there's some sexually provocative jokes and things like that, there's some nastiness there. But it wasn't nasty at the expense of the original film, right? They were showing respect to the original film. And I think they did a great job. I mean, I do think this is a classic for a reason. And he's got the perfect hair for it as well. Like everything, we're looking at it now. We're watching him try to set up the monster for the lightning to strike.
Well, the truth is that this idea came to Gene Wilder as he was working on Blazing Saddles for Mel Brooks. And you're right, Gene Wilder loved the original Frankenstein movies, especially The Bride of Frankenstein. That's why you see what happens to Madeline Kahn at the end happens to Madeline Kahn, and she comes in with that hairdo. And he was petrified by the monster as a child. And then he just one day thought, what would it like to be the great-grandson of, you know, Baron Victor von Frankenstein? So it is an homage with the original set from the original movie, but a tribute with a comedy spin and you know, Mel Brooks's unique added flavor. We'll talk about what he brings to it in a moment. Now, we are talking Making Movies Great Again with our buddy. Follow him on Twitter at Mr. Reagan USA. Give us a follow as well on all social media platforms. Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter, Telegram. This is, you know, Making Movies Great Again, so you can watch us on your Fire Stick, your Roku, your Samsung Plus device, or just download the Salem News Channel app. And for the latest content from me, see the article about our one-hour-long interview with President Trump. It's on my Substack, sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my whole name is one word, sebastiangorka.substack.com. And if you want to have... Well, we make movies here great again. If you want to make America great again once more, please support the man who is the current leader of the opposition, who gave us peace and prosperity for 4 years. Fly the flag that says, I stand with 45 Trump 2024. Get yours today, made in America, along with all our America First gear at sebgorkastore.com. Our latest item, I think perhaps the most important one we have ever sold, is the photograph of a beautiful, recently departed Laken Riley. And all it says on the T-shirt is, Say Her Name, Laken Riley. All that and so much more, including all of my books at SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com. And you can support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com. If you enjoy Making Movies Great Again, make sure you are subscribed on the podcast platform of your choice. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Never miss an episode. Leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends. That's how we get the truth out, especially the interview we did on Monday with President Trump. It's all there, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Stitcher. Look it up, subscribe. It costs you nothing. And please leave us a 5-star review. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you will ever sleep on. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set for $59.98, king-size for $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the My Pillow Company continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their products. To get those specials, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98 and king size for $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-829-8468 or go to MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A.
Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
Are you saying that I put an abnormal brain into a 7.5-foot long, 54-inch wide gorilla?
That is Igor. That is how it's pronounced, Froderick, played by Marty Feldman. Eric, who wasn't a big fan of this movie, did, however, concur with the genius behind it, Gene Wilder, that the central figure, the man that makes it all work in Young Frankenstein, is Marty Feldman. Chris, were you familiar with Marty Feldman before you saw this movie?
No, I was not. I'm trying to look up the Marx brother that he mimicked, because I forgot his name all of a sudden. Groucho. He does the perfect Groucho impression, just like randomly in the movie, like has nothing to do with anything. He just does this perfect Groucho impression. And the whole time he's going back and forth between different voices and stuff. And yeah, he spectacular job. And he's like the great grandson of
Igor,
you know, Dr. Frankenstein's assistant Igor, in the original film, supposedly. Actually, the whole concept, I didn't realize until watching it just now, right? You know, before the show, I didn't realize that the concept was modern day. It was the 1970s, right?
Right.
In the 1970s, we're kind of redoing the Frankenstein story again. I thought it was a send up of the original story. So I thought they were doing a sort of parody of the original story. That's what I always thought Young Frankenstein was. Having actually watched the film for the first time, I think that this story, just from like the point of view of a writer, from the idea of like, let's get a cool concept here, I think it was a really, really smart idea. And it also gives you a little leeway to tell a different story. Because the
story, is the fact that it's the great-grandson.
Exactly. I love that. And you get all these different things. And this guy, this actor who's playing Igor, he now has all this freedom to do a bunch of like different stuff that he wants to do. And it doesn't step on the old story, because it's a completely new story. And then you've got the putting on the Ritz dance, But then you've got a scene that I believe is a kind of an homage to King Kong, which we covered on this show, which we've seen on this show. Because he's the monster on stage in front of everybody, and then he goes crazy and starts attacking everybody.
Right.
It's exactly King Kong. It's really weird. So, and then, of course, they're in Transylvania, which doesn't make any sense because that's the home of Dracula, and they see a werewolf on the way to the castle, right?
You mean a werewolf, right?
A werewolf, I guess. He goes, werewolf, werewolf. Yeah. So, some of the joke, honestly, I laughed quite a few times in this movie, but it's not like, to me, a lot of the jokes aren't that funny to me, but like the ones that are pretty, like even some of the jokes I'm sitting there thinking, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I'm still hearing myself at the same time I'm thinking that I'm hearing myself laugh out loud. Because occasionally you can come up with a joke that is really dumb, but somehow is just – maybe the fact that it's dumb makes it better.
Yeah.
You know, I think Mel Brooks understands that. He understands how to make people laugh.
And even the puerile ones, I'm sorry, there's nothing really naughty here. I mean, he would have an enormous Schweinstucker. I mean, it's like, you know, jokes that a 10-year-old would laugh at. So they're fine, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, there is one moment that I think the modern audiences might have a problem with toward the end of the film there. But a lot of it is that's the Mel Brooks way, isn't it? It's like he's making films that are, you know, that are funny for adults, but certainly kids can watch it. And I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to scar him for life or anything.
Well, it didn't scar me, I don't think. We're making movies great again. We're celebrating Mel Brooks and Gene Wilder's Young Frankenstein. I'm coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, as we speak, is liberating over 1 million Americans from the daily pain that they couldn't escape from any other way. If you're in that situation, if you've tried everything else, do what I did 5 years ago. Order the 3-week quick starter pack. Do what Debron did as well. Listen to her unique story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That should be your story. That could be your story. Find out today. There's only one way. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. You deserve to know if you could be the next success story. Ask yourself one very simple question. What do you have to lose? If the only answer to that question is the pain, well, then just write the number down. 1-800-473-5433. It costs just $19.95, which translates to less than a dollar a day. You can't even get a good cup of coffee for less than a dollar a day. Find out. Do yourself a favor. I promise you won't regret it. 1-800, the number for relief, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in 2 critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom.
2 of my players and I were sitting together at a table. The conversation turned to whether male athletes should compete against female athletes. I said that even though I recognize that people may express themselves, what matters most when it comes to sports is the very real differences between the sexes. I was accused of violating the district's harassment, hazing, and bullying policy. That's censorship, and it violates the First Amendment's guarantee of free speech. That's why, with the help of Alliance Defending Freedom, I filed a lawsuit.
That is Dave Block, sports coach in a school in Vermont who was fired because of telling the truth about cheats, men who pretend to be women and then crush the sports dreams of actual females. Who's fighting for him right now? Yeah, you know who. The Alliance Defending Freedom, the same people who fought for Jack the Cake Baker. They're fighting for all of our freedom of speech and our religious liberties, our freedom of conscience. So to make sure that there are always people out there fighting for us, will you make a gift today to the attorneys who do not charge a penny to their clients and take these cases all the way to the Supreme Court? I have set out a target for myself this month of $20,000 to raise for the fighters who fight for all of our freedoms. Please make a donation. It's tax deductible at my website, sebgorka.com. Just click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner or call them directly on 855-374-4767. That's 855-374-4767, or just go to SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com, and the stand with the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at the top. God bless every single one of you. All right, we've talked about the male stars. Let's talk about the fairer sex. Let's talk about the scary lady. Let's have a little clip about Frau Blücher.
I am Frau Blücher.
Steady!
How do you do? I am Dr. Frankenstein. This is my assistant, Inga. May I present Frau Blücher?
In my male group of friends, the Frau Blücher catchphrase still exists today. For decades, it's still a tagline, a punchline. Then we have Terry Garr with, I think, actually quite a good German accent, who is the Baron's assistant. The first time they meet is at the train station with another iconic line. Play cut.
Oof. What was that?
Oh, that'll be Inga. Herr Falkstein thought you might need a laboratory assistant temporarily.
Oh. Hello. Would you like to have a roll in the hay? It's fun. Roll, roll, roll in the hay. Roll, roll.
I'm sorry, that always makes me laugh. And then the fiancé who becomes the love interest of the beast, of the monster, popping up in Mel Brooks movies now and again, the superb Madeline Kahn.
I'll count the hours that you're away.
Oh, darling, so will I.
Not on the lips.
What?
I'm going to that party at Nana and Nikki's later. I don't want to smear my lipstick. Oh. You understand.
Of course.
All aboard!
I'm yours, all of me. What else can I say?
My sweet love.
The hair. Just been set.
Sorry.
I hope you like old-fashioned weddings.
I prefer old-fashioned wedding nights.
You're incorrigible.
Does that mean you love me?
You bet your boots it does.
Oh, my only love.
Taffeta, darling.
Taffeta, sweetheart.
No, the dress is taffeta. It wrinkles so easily.
Oh.
Not the lips, not the hair. Taffeta. How do you rate these ladies and their acting performances?
Yeah, they're great. I mean, unfortunately, the vast majority of the lines were these ridiculous double entendre jokes rolling in the hay. Oh, those are some big knockers, this sort of thing. this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about where I'm like,
You're laughing.
But I'm laughing, and I hate that I'm laughing. I'm like, why are you laughing? So stupid. But you end up laughing anyway because, and a lot of it is the delivery, mm-hmm. you know. And I really think that the reason that some of Mel Brooks' really dumb jokes can work is because people like Gene Wilder will perform them with sincerity. Yeah. You know, he's really trying to pull off these terrible jokes. Like, you know, but he's acting, you know, as you would act in that situation naturally. And it works, you know, and you kind of laugh at it. And by the way, I'm going to throw this in there, even though we're talking about the ladies, I'm going to throw in another actor that I noticed because this was such a good performance, actually, that I didn't even realize that it was him for a little while. Another Gene, Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman is in this movie.
Yeah, Gene Hackman was desperate to be in a movie, and he said, have you got a little part for me in your comedy? You know, and one of the scariest guys in cinema as the blind monk, he was great.
It was fantastic. You know what the thing is? Gene Hackman, I never really realized this. I think Gene Hackman, when he was like 18, looked like he was 60. I don't know what happened with that guy's genes, but he, like, even from like a young man, he looked old. He sounded old. And so he's like in this old man makeup. And I thought they really cast an old man. You know? And so I'm watching this and I realized, wait, I recognize that voice. I'm like, holy smokes, it's 1973. This would have been Gene Hackman who was maybe like in his, I don't know, maybe 30 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he looks like an old man. He sounds like an old man. He does great, man. It's great.
Another Gene. We are making movies great again. If you enjoy what we do for you here, please support those who make it possible. Great patriots, friends of President Trump, like Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow. There's a reason he sold 81 million of his pillows, because they're that good. But are you aware he's got hundreds of other items on his website made in America by Americans for you? Don't buy that Chinese garbage on Amazon. Use my name and get up to 66% off and free shipping. You won't find a better deal anywhere. And talk to a human being when you order. How nice is that? 800-829-8468. Just go to mypillow.com. That's 800-829-8468. Mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact. What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
I've played it before, but it's so unique. Let's play it again. Put it on the Ritz.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes or cutaway coat, perfect fits.
There's definitely an element of King Kong putting the beast on show in a theater. Then everybody gets horrified and runs away. This was the test. Mel Brooks read this scene that Gene Wilder had written and said, no, you're not doing this. This is insane. This is an insult to the music hall I grew up on as a child. We're never doing it. No, no, no. And then Gene Wilder said, no, it'll work. It'll be great. And was so adamant that Mel Brooks said, yeah, let's do it. Because you fought for it that hard, I'm going to let you do it. And it's superb. One person we haven't mentioned, Chris, is Peter Boyle as the monster. Great performance, in my opinion.
Really, a really great performance. Because I think most of the time you're going to think of him for just going, right? but there is a moment in this film where he shows himself to be an excellent actor. And if you have any question about it, just he's the dad on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes, which I love, which is one of my favorite comedy shows.
Fantastic show. I mean, everybody loves that show. But you go from this movie, 1973, and he doesn't really get another great role until Everybody Loves Raymond. Totally underrated actor.
Yeah.
Then you see Everybody Loves Raymond. He's got such a dry delivery all the time on that show. He's the butt of a lot of jokes. He takes, you know, he takes it exactly as you should take those jokes. You know, he plays it. He makes himself the butt of the joke brilliantly. Then he gives it to other people brilliantly. I mean, he can do every kind of joke that there is. He can do it. He's a good comedic actor.
Yeah.
But in this film, okay, he's doing all this slapstick. He's doing all this physical comedy, all this. Not that difficult, you might think. But then there's a moment at the end of the film where there's a mind transfer or an intelligence transfer, something. It's not really explained in detail. But he makes the monster smart, right? He makes the monster smart. And so the monster, this happens, and all the villagers come in. You know, they're going to kill him. And he stands up. He says, "Leave that man alone." And then he just starts speaking in the most eloquent, beautiful English. He sounds like Sebastian Gorka. He's that good. And he explains to them, "I used to be this dumb creature. Now I am brilliant because of this man. You should let him go and you know, just think... think of him only positively, you know." And everybody's like, "Oh yeah, let me be the first to befriend you, sir." And then everybody's fine and walks home and everything's great. That twist, they needed to find an actor who could do both of these things. Who can do the groaning and moaning and have the right look, but also be elegant and sophisticated and speak well. And he did it perfectly. And yeah, he is a great actor. I mean, really underrated. I was really shocked by how good he was in this film. And then again, shocked to learn that he was the dad on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, the late, great Peter Boyle. I love that show. Everybody loves Raymond. We need to get Raymond on the show sometime. Okay, so final thoughts here. We have to rate it. This is officially, Eric has done the math, our 50th episode of Making Movies Great Again. Chris gets to choose 51, and then it's going to be our first year anniversary. I'm so super excited. So let's talk about money. They were given only $2.3 million. The final budget was $2.7 million. This was a massive hit, earned almost $90 million, less than $3 million to make, and it made $86 million. So a huge, rip-roaring success. Ratings, what do we rate it out of? I mean, the obvious would be Schweinsteigers. That might be a little bit rude. Maybe Top Hats. Shall we rate it out of 10 Top Hats? What do you think?
Sure. I love it. Top Hats.
Top Hats. So
for me...
You rate it for a modern audience. Yeah.
For me, a modern audience, look, the thing is, like I said, a lot of the jokes are so overplayed now because they were originated by Mel Brooks that they're not going to love them as much as, you know, maybe a modern comedy, probably not a modern comedy, maybe something from the early 2000s, something back when they still had, you know, testicles and they could produce good comedy. Now it's very, very difficult. But look, I really enjoyed it. I'm a movie buff, so maybe I'm a little bit different, but I don't particularly love Mel Brooks stuff, and I don't particularly love Gene Wilder, and I love this film. So I do think people will like going back and watching it, but I'm not going to give it a particularly high score. But I think people will like it. I think people will love going back to watch it. So let's give it a 7.5.
Wow, I'm shocked. That's pretty high, and you'll be shocked at what I give it.
I do think people are going to like watch it. If people go back and watch it, they're going to like it for sure.
Look, this is an homage to a classic movie, and it is a classic comedy that is paying homage to a classic movie. And because of the delicate touch, the beautiful photography, and the humor that at least makes my 14-year-old mind still laugh, I'm going to give it 8 out of 10. In the canon.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's perfect. I think that's just about right.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact. What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Oh, and I almost forgot, one of our dear listeners corrected me from last week, and this is how much we pay respect to our listeners. As we were discussing Beverly Hills Cop 2, a movie that you chose, I made the comment that, what other movie could you find Dean Stockwell and Jürgen Prochnow in? And of course, one of our listeners says, well, Dune, of course, a movie that they appeared in together as the Baron Atreides, and Dean Stockwell was one of the Mentats. So, yeah. So, I stand corrected.
Okay, yeah.
I stand corrected. Okay, a movie, I think you said, you haven't disclosed it to me, but a movie that you haven't seen, you're going to recommend to us. Is that correct, Chris?
That's right. That's right. And I've never been more excited for us to review a film. Because I've wanted to watch this film, I can't tell you how long, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years, I've wanted to watch this film. But I don't. It's the only film in the series I haven't seen. Normally, I like to go, you know, one, two, three, you know, I like to, you know, do them in sequence. Like, we're going to watch Last Crusade. We've watched Raiders. We've watched Temple of Doom. We'll eventually watch Last Crusade, but not next week. Next week, we're going to watch a film that I think you'll like. I've never seen this. It's the only one I've seen.
Before the big reveal, I need to understand your logic. This is a series we've been doing now for 1 year minus a week, where we're making movies great again, and you want to make one great again that you've never watched. Can you explain that to me, Chris Coles?
Maybe it's because I've started doing Muay Thai out here.
Why is it death match? What are we talking about?
Something like that. Yeah, it's the fourth movie in a series. It's a series we've started already.
Ooh!
You can maybe guess what it is.
Go ahead.
I'll just throw it out there. Rocky IV.
Whoa! Interesting. Now there's so many Rocky movies. Eric, is this the one with Drago?
This is indeed the U.S. versus the Soviet Union.
Oh, right. I've seen this one. I like it. I'm not into boxing. I like Stallone, Dolph Lundgren. You're only doing this because you want to see Brigitte Nielsen again. Beverly Hills Cop 2 was not enough, and he wants to see that Amazonian again that plays Drago Squeeze.
I forgot she was in it.
Yeah. The best, by the way, I'm going to spoilers. The best training montage of any movie is from Rocky IV, okay? But we'll get to that. That's next week. Rocky IV is our 51st episode of Making Movies Great Again. Make sure you are subscribed to our friend's YouTube channel, superb, Mr. Reagan and the Alpha Critic. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact. What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I want you to remember this moment, and don't forget it. If the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets, it's all going to be on camera. Pundits are going to sit there and scream about this. This man cannot be elected. You're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump. If they take his stuff, he's going to say that this is proof that the federal government and the establishment and the swamp in Washington and all the politicians across the country and the attorneys generals and all of this, that this is a conspiracy to deny him the presidency. He's going to go up in the polls just like he went up every single time they indicted him.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I actually agree with Frank Luntz, mea culpa. Except for his grammar, it's attorneys general, not attorneys generals. Okay, please, why do I have to teach him? I think he was born in America to speak real English, the Queen's English. Happy Friday. Welcome to America First. I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka, former deputy and strategist to the 45th and, if we do our part, God willing, the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump. And Frank Luntz is correct. We are less than 4 days away from the implementation of a $430 million bail and fine imposition on a man who is the leader of the opposition, to use a British phrase. That's really all you need to know. The state of New York, a Democrat state, is trying to bankrupt and make impossible the political campaign of a man who isn't just the nominee of his party, but if the election were today, would defeat the incumbent, handsomely so. So what we are seeing is the use of the courts to steal an election. As was mentioned during the trial of no crime under Judge Engoron, where fraud was the accusation despite the fact that there were no victims. None of the banks were in the courtroom saying, he didn't pay us back. In fact, they testified that they would like return custom from President Trump because he paid back his loans in time, often early, with the accrued interest. So if there is no crime, if there is no victim, why is Letitia James threatening, if President Trump cannot put down the inordinate amount, which just happens to be the amount he said he has on cash, what a coincidence, if President Trump cannot deposit more than $400 million by the beginning of next week, she has promised to seize his assets. Now, what happens when officers of the court, officers of the state of New York, go to Trump Tower, go to Bedminster, and seize control of President Trump's assets? What have you just proven without a shadow of a doubt? Because you may be watching CNN or MSNBC, and they won't tell you the truth about what President Trump said in Ohio about the bloodbath of the car industry. But I guarantee you that there will be no channel in America that will not be covering the illegal confiscation of the leader of the opposition's property. And as such, no question will be left in the minds of reasonable people
that there is a political party out of control. And it's not the red hat, MAGA hat wearing conservatives or America First Republicans. It's the left. I think it's very strange, peculiar, and something we should change, that we have lieutenant governors, attorneys general, we even have judges. Look at Georgia, like Judge McAfee. That we have people who are meant to serve the law who are elected. Why do we elect judges? That's weird, isn't it? Letitia James, in her election campaign for the chief law enforcement officer of the state of New York, campaigned on putting President Trump in prison. Where is that normal? We can see it on the video. She's laughing about it as she's campaigning. In what universe is Lady Justice blindfolded if the person who wins the campaign has said, I'm going to put a man who hasn't been charged with any crimes behind bars? In what universe is it normal for a person to be charged with a misdemeanor contempt of Congress charge, to be put in leg shackles at Reagan National Airport before he is strip searched by the FBI? Contempt of what? Are they looking for the anally deposited congressional what? What is that about with Peter Navarro? In what universe is that okay? And Lance is right. If we have free and fair elections, if we don't have suitcases of ballots pulled from under the table after the GOP poll watchers leave the room, if we don't have cardboard taped up along the windows so that the poll watchers who are locked outside can't see what's going on inside, if we don't have pristine mail-in ballots counted in their tens of thousands, which is weird because how did they get mailed in if they weren't folded? Unfolded pristine ballots? Did they fly in through the window being carried in by an albatross? How did that happen? If none of that occurs on November 5th, if they really seize his assets, they will make him a living martyr. And even the independents, even the, oh, his tweets are so mean crowd, will say, no, this all stinks. Will we have a free and fair election? It's one question. I know my wife's working on that as a chief election officer. Are you volunteered? Are you at least handing out sample ballots? Are you a poll watcher? And then here's a question. I just spent more than an hour being interviewed by a European journalist. Very impressive guy. Let me just plant a question for you on Friday, because we have fun on Fridays, don't we? What happens if he wins? If it is free and fair? What are the Democrats going to do between November 5th and January 20th? Have you thought about that? Are you ready? We shall discuss. If you want to discuss that and so much more in a more informal setting over a cigar and maybe an adult beverage and celebrate the birth of our nation, what are you doing this July 4th? Why don't you join me and hundreds of our patriotic listeners for the Patriots Alaska Cruise, June 29th to July 6th. Register today. Almost 300 cabins gone. Don't miss this, especially if you weren't fortunate enough to join the 350 listeners who came with us to Israel a year ago. Check out the itinerary. Check out the beautiful five-star Eurodame vessel and reserve your cabin today. $50 off the deposit if you do it today. SebGorka.com and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. That's SebGorka, SebGorka.com and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. If you like what you hear here, then do subscribe to the podcast, whichever platform you prefer. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a five-star review. Share the links with your friends. And if you want justice back in America, if you want safety and security, fly the flag that says, I stand with 45. Get our latest T-shirt, the most important one we've made. A picture of the late Laken Riley with the words, "Say her name." SebGorkaStore.com, SebGorkaStore.com. And you can support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.